Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends. Today, Christine, Marie, and Julie talk about why Hillary lost, and can we just start feeling better now? And Julie talks Fate of the Furious, and how I might lose my job because of driverless semis. Who am I? I'm Starman Norman. And we're all sensitive people with so much to give. So let's get it on.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. And I'm Julie.
Yes, you are.
You're Christine that Marie.
That leaves me as Christine Marie, right?
Yes, we're your in-house certified coaches, law of attraction coaches. You're also a psychotherapist. I'm an instructional designer. And we're just here having a great time. Loving life.
Feeling better now.
Feeling better now. I think it's kind of been the theme of our week is, how do we feel better now?
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I mean, we seem to, we decided that we're educators and we're entertainers.
Yes.
So we've developed this idea that we're going to be in edutainment.
And you said this months ago, if not years ago, about that's who you want to be.
Yes.
Edutainment. And then yesterday you heard the phrase. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought I coined that.
That's right.
So maybe you did, but it got out there somewhere. But, you know, we went to go to our website, consciouscommunity.com. We've got a lot of cool challenges there. And really, it's all about being more and more conscious in your life. Mm-hmm. This morning, we were having our little powwow, talking about just our day, what's going on. And you mentioned, and unfortunately, if you were a fly on the wall, our powwows are very, they go really deep fast because we know each other so well. And you talked about self-mastery,
right,
and sovereignty. And, you know, with our website, consciouscommunity.com, I mean, it is about getting conscious results in your life, becoming more and more conscious. We're always getting results in our life. We're
absolutely
always manifesting. And sometimes
it's not what we want.
Yes, it's actually the total opposite. And it's about getting conscious, mm-hmm, and getting conscious results. And so we've got 7 challenges up there. And they're meant to be fun and light. They're not meant to be...
They're hung. Edutainment.
Yes, exactly. But I promise you, they're between 2 and 4 minutes of an audio every morning.
Yes,
and
for 21 days.
So take one of the challenges. That would be awesome. And so forth. But and we're mother and daughter, if I didn't mention that. And
you didn't mention it.
Yeah.
So that's why we're under, in iTunes, we're under family.
Family and children.
But
and kids.
I do not know how we're under kids.
Yes, because that's a little weird. And so,
because basically you're my kid.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing.
Is that why?
That's it.
Because there are some days that if I knew that like a 12-year-old kid was passing through on iTunes and heard us, I'd like, oh,
what?
Kid, put your finger in your ears.
So
you know what? That's not true.
No.
These kids they're up to...
Oh, please, they're savvier than I am.
That's true.
They're hearing stuff on YouTube that I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
What's going on? And I love it when YouTube says, you know, there's some explicit content in this video. Are you over 18? Yes or no? Yes.
We trust you.
We trust you because we have no idea.
That's right.
Unless you allow us to look through your camera on your computer and we can kind of verify your age by your face.
Yeah. Well, they can, you know, speaking of that, you know, remember, I don't know if it was Kellyanne Conway or whatever, she was saying, you know how microwaves can... you know, see in your house, and your house, and like everyone went, wait, what?
Microwaves can that way.
Well, and but we have where we live, they're upgrading all of our ComEd little outside power things, those circle, whatever those meters are. And so
your meters, exactly.
That's what they are.
They're meters.
And they're upgrading them. So, you know, there's about 20, 25 vans, and they all say, ComEd upgraders on them. They got little yellow flashing lights. And so we had ours upgraded and, you know, the power goes off. You can hear the guy working and it only takes like 10 minutes.
Right.
But the power goes off for a second and then you're back on
and
you got your new meter.
Wink, nudge, nudge, new meter, a smart meter.
It's a smart meter. And I had this moment, a moment that said, how smart is my new smart meter?
Yes.
I mean, we were talking.
It's supposed
I think
to
we
tell
were talking,
you how to intuitively use, how you use your electricity now. That's and like how to best use your electricity.
It's supposed to tell you
that's
that.
What it's supposed to do.
But we were also wondering what else it's doing.
Yeah.
And we were, I think we happened to be talking about Trump or something.
Yes.
And after it just kind of went, we went on, you know, and like,
yeah.
And like, oh, we love that dude.
We love.
He's smart.
We love all of our presidents.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because I walked
all of a sudden,
in on
like,
you.
You're like, where, you know, where's the, there's the camera.
Yeah.
Where's the audio, the mic at?
And so the.
You walked in on me?
I walked in on you, and I don't know what had happened, but it was a day that the meter had just gotten switched. And I walked in, and you went, you flash your TV. I go, here you go, ComEd. See this, motherfucker. And I'm like, I go, what's going on here, mother? And she goes, I just got this feeling that they want to spy on me. And if they want to spy on me, take a good look now.
Yeah, but that's not exactly what I flashed.
That's true. I was just like, I came in with my eyes, like, I'm blinded. I go, what are you doing? I want to get
them in there jolly.
Yes. Well, and there's something about let it all hang out right away. We was listening to Joe Rogan. I was listening to Joe Rogan, and you were with me. I was listening to him.
And I had my fingers in my ears?
No, you did not. But it was interesting. They were talking about this idea of like, we have to get mature enough to realize that if people are going to be witnessing us 24/7, unless we become sterilized.
Right.
We are going to let ourselves shine, all warts and all.
Right.
And most of the time, nothing goes on.
Right.
And then and sometimes we do a lot of good stuff. And then once in a while, we're just...
picking our noses.
Yeah. You know, itching weird places.
That's right.
You know, not looking the best. Not saying the best.
That's right.
I mean, there are things I say to you, Dad, Doug, Greg. Greg in particular, because I like to make him laugh. Mm-hmm. And he gets my sense of humor.
Right.
That if I can say stuff... in the privacy of that I would never let outside of my circle right. of influence.
Well, not only that, but we say things in the terms of comedy now.
Yes.
And in comedy...
because everyone can be a comedian.
All the sacred cows. Yeah. Everybody can have a podcast. Everybody can do comedy.
Everybody can have a one-hour comedy special on Netflix.
Exactly. And so we feel like all the sacred cows are no longer sacred anymore.
This is what technology has done for us, and the internet specifically, is that in your lifetime, you can accomplish your goals. You may not be, people might not respond to them. You know what I'm saying?
But that's kind of was the point, though, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the point. You could do, you know, hey, you want a comedy set special? Guess what? We'll give you one.
You got your own YouTube channel.
Yeah, get your own YouTube channel. You may not get any hits, or people may give you the thumbs down.
Yeah, they may say like, oh, you're Lucifer.
Yeah.
Or you suck.
Yeah.
You suck big time.
Yeah.
You're not funny.
And if you're a woman, they may make some rapey comments towards you, you know.
That's
and,
right.
Or criticize your weight.
That's right.
Oh, just really, I got to just share this comment really with you.
All right.
So the show on HBO called Girls, HBO Girls, ended it, I don't know how many years it was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the first couple episodes in season one, got turned off on it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't feel they were anything like me or
yeah.
ever and, were anything like
or,
me.
And did you care about them?
And I cared nothing about them. Now, I know I also didn't feel, during this time, though, I mean, what's her name?
Lena Dunham.
Thank you. You know, she did nude scenes on her show. And there were very normal nude scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what would happen in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And people would just criticize her because, or call her brave. Either she's very brave, or she's just like this.
Yeah, you're either hot
or you're brave. And if you're brave, then you got half the people criticizing you because you're overweight, right? And I look at her, I'm going... I bet she's not that overweight.
Right.
Like if I saw her in real life,
right.
I go, oh, she's got a cute little figure, you know.
Right.
But because she's naked, and the only way a naked person looks great is if you got a six pack, you know, I mean.
Or like if you're shot totally perfect. You know?
Right. In the perfect light. And she's letting it all hang out.
Right.
And so, I saw the last episode. I saw the last two episodes of the season, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to give it away because I know nobody watches this in real time, but, it's just a slice of life. But one thing is she has a baby.
Okay. She did?
At the end of her series, and she's going to the doctor, and She's with her friend, one of her friends.
Does she actually have the baby?
Yeah, and she's going to the doctor to for a checkup with her child. Mm-hmm. And the doctor goes, oh, he's perfect weight. And he goes, okay, great. And she debated because he goes, well, he only weighs 13 pounds and he was born at almost 10. And it's been like, I don't know how many weeks or whatever. And he goes, no. The first couple of weeks, I tend to lose a little bit of weight and then they gain it back. And so mm-hmm. he's a perfect weight. Mm-hmm. And she comes out of the room and meets her friend. And the friend goes, how'd he do? And they called him, I don't know what he named him, but it's a funny name. I want to say it's like Oscar, but it's not Oscar. I don't know why Oscar's a funny name. It just is. I think of Oscar the Grouch, but it's kind
Barney?
Of kind of like a name like that.
Barney.
I think a name of a childhood stuffed animal toy was probably named this somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
Yogi? Garver, Garfield, something like that.
Garfield
or Garver, something like that. Mm. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But her and Leah goes. Is it Lena or Leah?
Lena.
I goes. Oh, he's fine and he's perfect weight. And her friend goes, oh my gosh, that's the best compliment ever to be a perfect weight. And I thought to myself, ba-boom, that was the best line I've heard in a long time. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a woman, you never are a perfect weight.
Right.
There's like that small sliver of perfect weight. Either you're too skinny, because her friend has been called too skinny, or you're just, you could lose a few pounds. You can lose a few pounds. It's like, screw you people. Screw you. I'm the perfect weight.
I was listening to Louis C.K. last night, and he said he went to his doctor, and he's in this, comedy special, he was recently divorced. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, he goes, this body, this wasn't meant to be back on the market. I didn't think that this was going to have to be on the market. He said, I went to my doctor, and he said, you are not medically overweight, but you are aesthetically overweight.
No, he did not say that.
He said.
Oh, my God, I love that.
You mean I'm okay in terms of the, medically? He goes, yeah, but I just don't look good to you. Right. You look a little chubby. You're like, man, that's smart.
Well, I remember listening to
you're aesthetically.
I love that. I love that. That you're like, okay, I get what you're going for there. I get that. But remember, we were listening to Pete Holmes, who was with Joe Rogan, and Pete Holmes calls himself soft.
Right.
And he is. He is.
Yeah.
He doesn't look big. He just looks soft.
Yeah.
He walks soft. And I understand how he walks, you know. He walks with me like me a little bit, like with my knees hurting a little bit or whatever. And he quotes Quentin Tarantino from a movie saying, it's sad that what's pleasing to the touch is not pleasing to the eye.
Right.
And it's kind of funny because like Douglas, you know, he's got a very interesting body type. He's got real scrawny legs, and he's got like a kind of round belly, you know. Mm-hmm. But sometimes my head fits perfectly right there on his round belly, and I'm like, "Ah, oh, this feels good." It's got like a little table. It's like it fits perfectly there, you know. And it's true, you know. It's like what's pleasing to the eye is not necessarily pleasing to the touch. And if you could focus on the touch, and I look at Lena, thank you, and I think. She's got a great body, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it's pleasing to the touch.
Right.
And so forth. So
right.
I just thought that was very interesting. And I guess Taylor Swift is always true. You know, will be haters.
Oh, true.
You know, if you're a hater, you're a hater. It doesn't matter what you're doing. And you just got to go, what's going on here?
It's so true that we have this new class with all the technology of people that are just, don't choose to be spiritually a seeker. I'm not a wanderer. I'm a hater. Yeah, somebody's got to do it. It's got to be me. My mom would have been that.
She would have loved it.
She would have, I know how to do this.
And she goes, can this be a job?
Yeah.
And then you realize it can be a job because what happens is that you may be hired by a foreign government to put disinformation out there or to be a hater.
Yeah.
Or you may even be, hired by a political party to like be a hater. Mm-hmm. So you realize that there's a way to make money off of that.
I was listening to CNN yesterday and they had, was it yesterday? They had this author on who wrote this new book called Shattered. And it was, imagine it was a sort of a quick book, but it was about how Hillary lost the election.
Oh.
And a couple of interesting points is that he noted that Bill was saying, like, all along, he's saying, you know, oh, well, Hillary is following the data.
Right.
They were saying she would just totally was like, what's the data say? Where, what, you know, followed that. And Bill was saying, I go out, I meet the people every yeah. single day. I'm not experiencing what the data is showing. Right. You need to hear me. And they weren't.
They weren't.
They weren't listening. They were saying, this is what the data shows.
Right.
And we'll handle this according to what research is. And so here was a case where they were following what pollsters, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, should be following.
Right.
They were doing all the right things. And yet somebody that was in the trenches, somebody that was meeting people at diners mm-hmm. and coffee shops and listening to what the people were saying, was getting a totally different idea
right.
of what was going on. And then here's the guy that won was just this guy that just had rallies after rallies and just met the people
right.
and heard what they wanted.
Right.
And
even if it was for him to tell you a lie, you
right.
hear what you wanted.
Right.
Well,
but
and I had this one guy.
He got what the heart of the matter was,
right.
which I think Hillary missed because of what her polls showed, you know.
Yeah.
And also the fact that even if she would have taken a tag or two from Bernie Sanders, he was basically the Democratic Trump.
Right.
He was this considered an outsider. He mm-hmm. wasn't a rich. He, you know, was
right.
for the common man and you know, whatever that was the perception of and how rabid his fans were.
Right.
You know. So he was saying she really totally truly missed it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I could have told her she missed it way back when, because I was hearing in like October. Or, you know, I mean, people going, this one guy goes, you know, I'm out there and here's what I'm not seeing. I'm not seeing a lot of Hillary signs out there.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to add to that, in our area, I saw a lot more Hillary for prison. Or,
right.
You
That's
know,
right. Hillary for prison.
More than Trump, more than hit vote.
Right.
So it was
not necessarily for Trump, but the hating of Hillary.
And I remember telling you that I just wish we had somebody different.
Right.
Newer. Because
right.
I was tired of Bushes and Clintons, you know?
Right.
I was
You wanted somebody new.
I wanted somebody fresh.
Yeah.
Because it did seem, and I'm different because where I'm at in my life, I don't need to have a winner and a loser.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need
right.
to feel like we beat somebody.
Or you have to have an opinion on
and
everything.
I don't feel we have to have huge amount of change. I think incremental change consistently
always
over
works.
Time
yeah.
always works.
Yeah.
Always best for everybody.
Everybody.
Because it shakes things out then. You don't
right.
have to have these huge swings.
Right.
A lot of people out there aren't like me. They want to have the big win.
Yeah.
And they want to have the shakeup. And you're just like, I don't need that. And let's just take a chill pill and go, wait a minute, we have the best country in the world. You know, for the most part, I think we do. We got issues.
We do.
But what we have is the ability to be free.
Even
and
if people,
anybody takes that freedom away, then
yeah.
you go, wait a minute, back away.
You were going to say something about you were talking to somebody last night or something?
Well, yes.
About politics?
I was talking to Doug and I went to see Jack. And Hillary and David, which
no.
was good because
no.
at the beginning of the week, there was this big shakeup in the family. Last Sunday was Easter, and Doug is very close with his daughter, you know, both of his daughters, but he's really close with Hillary.
Scary close. Scary close.
You can't say that, Mom, because I live with you. We're scary close, too.
Oh, we're not that scary close.
Okay. But anyway. And they didn't see him on Easter. But we had a good day. You know, Doug saw his other daughter on Easter, and we went out and saw him.
You felt you had a good day.
I felt it a good day.
You didn't realize that there was this thing percolating in
right.
the background.
Which was
a nuclear bomb.
Right. Which was, he was very, very upset that he didn't get to see his daughter on and his grandson. And mostly
on Easter.
He
just happens to see him every single day of the week. But
it feels like it, for sure. At least twice a week he sees him. And I know why. Because the kids see him more often. They feel on the holidays where it matters the most to the other grandparents, they don't have to see Doug. Except that Doug has this jealousy bone in him that if he feels like his ex-wife is getting something over on him or whatever, it just, it gets agitated and aggravated, and it just, it was inflamed.
It was scary.
It was scary. He was pissed off that on Sunday, on Easter Sunday.
And Monday.
And Monday.
And Tuesday.
Yes. Well, by Tuesday, by Monday, literally, I had not been hearing about it because... Monday it was bad. Yes, yeah. Monday was bad. But Tuesday, it wasn't bad for me because he wouldn't talk to me about it on Monday. I got brought in by through David.
No, but Monday morning it was...
Oh, yeah, Monday morning it was still bad.
We were trying to work and it was several hours, it felt like.
Right.
A big...
Well, that's the other problem. I have to learn this because being close with my mother... you know way too much about what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you like it.
Yeah.
I think you like it.
I mean, I'm interested.
Yes. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's edutainment.
Until it gets too dramatic and I get like, wait a minute, does this guy have a gun? And you're like, no, Mom. He's got a gun permit, but not a gun. That's what's scary.
Yes. And, but...
Because there was a lot of... Last week, there was a lot of that stuff. You know, that guy from, was it Ohio that killed that poor guy just walking home from Easter dinner?
Blamed on his girlfriend.
And there was another shooting, too. I can't remember. It was.
No, you're right. I mean, there was.
There was a lot of things that were just odd, you know?
Yeah.
I just, you know, everything, I felt that there was like a tipping point, that people were at a breaking point.
Right.
That they could do things that were not necessarily in their wheelhouse.
Right.
But that they had been, you know, and I always feel that Doug takes it out on you.
Mm-hmm.
He would never tell Hillary or Dave that he's upset with them, but he tells the entire world in the hopes that it somehow gets back to them.
Right.
I think.
Oh, he says that.
I don't really understand the dynamic.
That's the only way he told me. He goes, I go, why are you bringing this with Quinn? Mm-hmm. You know, his other daughter, let that be. You don't have to agitate this.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, no, because then Quinn will tell Hillary and it'll get back to Hillary. I go, well, then just tell Hillary directly.
Oh, God, no.
No, I don't want to do that.
That would be
horrible. She needs to know this is going down, but I don't need to tell her. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it really is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I haven't had enough of it, you know.
I know. Well, brought this show down.
Well, but no.
But the reason why I was mentioning this was about politics.
Right.
Because.
Do you remember either?
Yeah, I do remember. Because I had listened to Bill Maher and I had listened to Joe Rogan. And so what I've been hearing, and I've heard this before, is this idea, which I had never, I don't partake in or believe, or it's not my experience at all, which is liberals, aka Democrats, I'm guessing, think that they're elitists, and that the Democrats then feel Republicans, aka conservatives, are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, this is not how I feel whatsoever.
That's a huge turnaround.
I always felt that the Republicans... conservatives thought they were always better than liberals.
Yeah, had a better idea about everything.
And so forth. And so I asked the millennials in my life, I go, what do you think about this comment? Because I just don't agree with it.
Right.
And I don't know where it's coming. Hasn't been my experience whatsoever. And they go, no, we don't feel that way either, that Democrats or liberals are elitists.
Mm-hmm.
And as a whole.
Right.
And that they hate conservatives or Republicans because...
they're not educated.
Yeah.
Because it's always been in my experience that Republicans are, you know, CEOs of corporate, have huge money.
Yeah. And, corporate money. You don't get that by not being educated.
Right. I don't know how that happened, but that's the Trump factor.
It is.
Though.
The Trump factor.
I'm on your side. I'm a common man.
Yes. And I'm tired of people, you know, saying that if you've gone to a 4-year college, which I have, I'll get my master's or whatever, that means you're educated and highly educated, because the truth is most education occurs outside of school.
Right.
And it's really your decision to keep learning.
Right.
And if you're choosing not to learn anymore, well, that's your problem, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the world is changing. You laughed at me yesterday because we were together.
Say?
Well, I said, go, progress is a bitch.
That's right. That's right.
And you go, what'd you just say? I said, progress is a bitch, man. Because we were talking about something.
And I go, I'll put that down on my bumper sticker.
Yeah, because it is. Because, you know, there you were watching Mark Cuban being interviewed by Tucker
Carlson.
Yeah.
Scary, bow tie, Tucker
you
Carlson.
Listen to such a wide variety of people that you must feel schizophrenic by the end of the night.
I can handle it.
I know you can. You love it. Yeah. You can't just handle it. You love it.
I got a place in my brain for all that.
You do. Yes, you do. And so no one can call you.
And I can tell you why I do.
Yeah, tell me.
Because, like, unlike your dad who hears something and goes, oh, no, I got to choose a side.
Right.
I have no desire to choose a side. I'm still accumulating evidence.
And you go, no comment.
Yeah, I have no comment. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll hear a study. I go, well, this seems like a very sane study. We should probably follow this study. And by following this study, everybody gets what they want. You know, like I'll give you an example, but mm-hmm. it's kind of a hardcore example. And that mm-hmm. was with like there is that study done in Colorado where they had private money, not public money, going for birth control.
Oh, right, right.
And they had evidence, and it was a very small amount of money.
Right.
But if they had evidence that this program was actually, the abortion rate was going down, and when the pregnancies were going down, but when the money ran out, the state decided that it wasn't their job to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm like, well, that's just stupid. And also it was a net value, meaning mm-hmm. that
it worked.
It actually cost them less because they wouldn't have to support people
right.
with a lot of different things right, and health right. issues and so forth. So when the money stopped, the government, even though they had clear evidence that this was a program that was satisfying working. Everyone,
right.
you know, they're like, no.
Yeah.
We're not, that's
yeah.
not our job.
Yeah.
To,
and now
I don't
that
know,
sounds Republican to me. Doesn't sound Democrat.
Exactly. But I wonder if,
but I don't know.
But if both extremes
come together at some point.
One is like, hey, if people want to screw and not have birth control, that's not the government's problem. I mean, they should be have every right to do that, you know? And then, you know, let the chips fall where they may, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, it's just like, you know, we can't be saying that it's okay to have sex without, you know, the intention of having children
right.
or being married. That just seems wrong.
Right.
So both extremes is
tend to produce the same
results. But in wow. the middle, when you're saner
yeah.
and not have a black and white world,
yeah.
you go, wait a minute, what do we really want? Well, most people want to have, you know, the less need for abortions. And
most people want to have the baby of a basketball star that makes $124 million a year.
Well, that's my goal. And that's I missed the opportunity.
Damn
I'm
it.
Telling you.
What happened to me?
Because, yeah, we both screwed that pooch, man. That pooch been screwed twice over. How's that going?
I was listening to a Republican talk about that they're kind of reviving the Health Care Act. You
yeah.
know? And I don't know if it was Anderson Cooper or, you know, Don Lemon saying, like, but what are you going to do with all the millions of people, I think he said 8 million people who need Medicaid because you're getting rid of that. He goes, well, we're giving vouchers.
Hmm.
That's how Republicans handle it. And he goes, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, we're giving vouchers away so that you can pay with this voucher, you know, and it was something like $11,000 or $12,000
right.
a year. And the guy goes, but you have to be making at least $11,000 to $12,000 a year to get that voucher.
Right.
And he goes, but there's a lot of people, 6 million, that don't make any money,
right.
or very little, that can't use that darn voucher.
Right.
And I think that's, I felt like that's the crux that they overlook.
Right.
Like that's where they go,
what are we going to do?
Fell through the cracks.
Fell through the cracks. They're not deserving of any health care whatsoever.
Right.
And their life is throwaway. And you know, it's surprising because people don't understand.
Are they end up going, you know, we're emphasizing personal responsibility
yes.
in this act.
I know people who are highly responsible that are not able to really get a job.
Right.
For a variety of reasons.
Right.
They work a lot for no money because that's what their family needs.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And what are you supposed to do?
Right.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? So I think it's just crazy.
Yeah. There's a lot of craziness right now, Jules.
Yeah.
A lot. Like that guy, that teacher that went to California from, was it Ohio again? No, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
with a student.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because I had I had very weird views on this.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, obviously, the guy committed a crime.
Yeah.
You know, the guy, they said he kidnapped her, and I agree. He was 50, she's 15.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I don't care how you write it out.
He's a teacher, so that's power.
Yeah.
You know, even though they said that people had seen them kissing mm-hmm. in classrooms, and like, so you know, so that maybe there might have been something
right.
going on, and that she went willingly. All of that being the case... You know, that it still felt, I mean, but, and I understand how they were treating it.
Like right.
He kidnapped her. He committed a crime. He took her across state lines. We don't know yet if there was sexual
right.
you know, abuse. I mean,
obviously, yeah.
The cabin where he was found, there was KY jelly.
No, was there?
Yeah, they found a big bottle of KY salt.
A big bottle, Jesus.
Huge bottle.
Okay.
I added that for effect. I don't even know if they make KY in big bottles. I don't know.
It comes in bulk. So did they find KY
They did find
okay.
KY.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the part I'm not telling. I'm
okay.
telling the truth about. I'm just saying the big bottle.
Okay. Well, I love how you embellish. It yeah, makes the story better. Yeah.
So, but
fake news.
I had,
fake news.
The way the news portrayed it was, you know, just big crime,
right?
You know, big time crime, and I felt that, but I really wanted to know because, like, the girl was from divorced parents.
Yeah.
So I felt like she was vulnerable
mm-hmm.
to this this older man who. Was her teacher, which
right.
is a father figure,
right.
a power figure, an authority figure. So there's all of that psychological stuff happening.
Right.
You know? And I don't know necessarily where his mind was, but it was a crime. It was everything they said it was, but it just didn't have the I don't know, the oomph of like, oh my God, she was standing at a street corner. He, you know, stops
right.
the white van and grabs her and
yeah.
takes her and, I mean, that, it didn't have that to me.
Right.
I mean, I obviously was every bit as that you know deserving of these the names like crossing state lines.
Yeah, I mean, and, it was definitely a crime, and
yeah.
it was. And
but
and
to me, there just was.
You're missing this part because I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I also felt.
I mean, I'm not saying it was anything.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
But it was also. I also felt this way about it, like. There are probably other parents right now going, why isn't my child getting the same kind of attention because she's been missing also?
Oh, right.
You know?
I was wondering what you were going to
yeah,
go with
no,
that.
No,
yeah.
The,
why isn't my child getting that kind of attention?
From, you know,
yeah, yeah.
And we still haven't found the murderer of those two girls in Indiana.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
And so there's just a lot of crap going down
yeah,
in the world.
Yeah.
And because of media, we know about it all. You know, and that gets a little bit overwhelming in our brain
because
it makes us feel like everything is so horrible
and everything is so transparent.
Right.
So it is horrible. We are seeing more of the warts,
right.
and the scars,
and I'm
all
sure this
stuff.
Guy. I mean, I think you know. I don't know. I know nothing of this teacher,
no.
but energetically, I bet at one point he's just glad this is over mm-hmm. because how do you continue on this path? You know.
Yeah. You get to California. Where are you going to go? Alaska.
Yeah. I mean, who's not going to know you?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of
crazy.
They
said though that this like kind of hippie dude. You know, he was the caretaker,
yeah.
and these cabins had nothing in them.
No,
they were really like what we would call a
outhouse
storage unit.
Yeah, storage unit.
In
yes.
your backyard that you
yeah.
had.
He did a shed.
A shed.
A little taller, but yeah.
Yeah, and but they had nothing in
mm-hmm.
it, so they were sleeping on the floor. Evidently, you know, but he just said, yeah, I kind of remember seeing, I went and called 911 because he looked familiar.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing with that guy that had killed the old man on Easter. He was going through a McDonald's drive-thru. And
yeah.
This was in a different state, Pennsylvania. And the ticket, the money taker recognized the car, which was a white Ford Fusion and
mm-hmm.
had an Ohio plates and recognized the face of the guy. And she said, oh, your French fries will be up in a minute, and I'll go back and get them, and went and called 911 during that time. So it's like, you know,
right.
there is really nothing that can be hidden.
Right.
Especially now that we have our Comet smart meter.
That's right. Nothing's
hidden.
We better
keep it cool,
girlfriend. I think, though, we were going full circle on this real quick, though, is that, oh, and actually, no, I don't even want to say anything because it doesn't make any sense what I was going to say. So I'm going to
go over through that. Okay. Forget that.
I'll let you drop
Thank
that.
You. I mean,
I'll save your face there.
Thank you. You know, because it's kind of like talking about something lower vibrational. It's like there's no humor here. There's nothing except that there are just these things that happen in our world that just seem tragic.
Yeah.
And I don't get it because I live in a – and yet I feel blessed because if you've been watching HBO when Syria cries or Cries of Syria, mm-hmm. you just go, oh, my God, we don't live there.
Yeah.
And
but, you know, I understand that. And when I was a kid, that used to be the way to feel better. And I'm all about feeling better now.
Yeah, you have know, to,
like,
right?
Like, you know, you better eat those lima beans because there are starving children in Africa.
Right.
You know, you better like those black and white Oxfords that I'm making you wear because there are kids that have no shoes. In fact, there are kids that have no feet, you know. So I understand that right. philosophy.
Right.
You know, but it sort of doesn't, I don't know. Does it make you feel better, honey?
Doesn't make me feel better. It just makes me put things in perspective.
Puts it in perspective.
It doesn't make me feel better at all.
Yeah.
It just...
Yeah, like how do I... Okay, now I have another cause.
Right.
I gotta... First of all...
I'm that commercial of that guy who's just, you know, being inundated with different causes and you just don't know what to do.
Well, I know, because like, I'm like, you know, I do Smile Train. Right. I like helping those little kids with cleft palates.
Yeah.
You know, they go on that boat. Yay. They get that fix.
Right.
Not out. And then I go, okay, now I gotta... Syria needs clean drinking water. Oh, and I got to help them. Now right. I got to do, you know, and then there's other people that there's like old, there's people left from the Holocaust still.
Yes.
And they're like suffering and they're eating bread in Russia. No, I got to give them food.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how much more, I don't know what to do.
Right. And if we're throwing away 40% of our food every day, or, you know, in the country, then we should be able to feed the whole world. We have a distribution problem. How do I solve that problem?
Yeah, exactly. We don't have a water issue. We have a desalination issue.
Exactly. We have a distribution problem. And that's when I felt just so effing blessed to be an American, because we have two coasts and we live near the Great Lakes.
Yes.
And I think... we will, if you live in the United States, literally.
I think it's better to live near the Great Lakes.
Yes.
There's no salt in that water.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But we have the opportunity to just take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And if there's a pocket in the country that's struggling because of drought or whatever, we hear it all the time. Other farmers send them their, you know,
right.
their farmers' grain so they can
that's
feed
right.
their cattle and
that's
feed
right.
this and do that. And so.
And the farmers take care of each other. Even in our little rural community, if like. There was like this one farmer, he and his wife are both in cancer treatment.
Yeah.
All the guys get out, all the other farmers get out there and did his land for
yeah.
him. And you know, that's just what you do.
Yeah. And the problem is in like some smaller countries that are really struggling with drought right now and famine. And I think they were saying like 4 to 6 famines are happening right now in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? Why? And some of it's because it's war torn. Others because
I believe that.
Because of droughts. But if you're a small enough country and your mm-hmm. whole country is being, you know, handled by a drought, then there mm-hmm. is no resources for you.
Right.
You have to really rely on other countries to help you.
Right.
And in this world at this moment, people aren't willing to break, you know, go through different countries to help mm-hmm. each other out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just feel really blessed. And then when I feel this blessed,
I just want to put my blanket up over my
eyes. It's like
eyes.
I won the lottery. And I can't, I mean, I just, in perspective, I won the lottery. I got to live here. And if things got crappy here, I could move someplace else in the United States and it'd be a little less crappier.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
A little more crappier, maybe.
Or a little more crappier. Or less crappy. You know? If things got tough here, though. You
got
know?
It.
So,
got it.
I don't know. I feel like we should move on to some... movie talk.
Oh, good. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies and see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
So here we are at movie talk. Let's go to the movies.
Yeah, let's be happy.
I know. I felt like our show was just getting a little bit serious.
Too serious?
Not too serious. I think just serious.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to lighten the load a little bit. And I don't think I talked about this last week because I saw the highest grossing movie of all times.
Ever.
In the first weekend box office. And that was The Fate of the Furious. And I have to say, 4 Sherpa hats.
Yay.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. Now, I love these outrageous, nonsensical movies. Mm-hmm. I love them. They make me happy. Totally happy. I enjoy them. There's nothing to them. And they're violence in weird ways. And they're not a lot of death. Kind of there's some death in it, you know, a lot of shooting or whatever. But it's so nonsensical that just, it doesn't make you feel like I just got tormented by seeing a lot of evil stuff.
It's what was that one that won the Academy Award? Midnight?
Or? Midnight, yes.
Midnight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. That was a bummer. You said you didn't like the movie at all.
I couldn't even remotely imagine that winning the Academy Award.
Right.
Remotely.
Well, it's like somebody said, if I told you in 2013 we'd have President Trump. Yeah. And
wait, get out of here.
And we'd have Russia being examined to see if they had an influence on our election. You would have gone, what?
Russians hacking our emails?
What? Say what? And people being paid to cause to be anarchists, you would have said, what? That's not going on here. Mm-hmm. Hello, it went on here.
Welcome to 2017.
Yes. It's amazing what a couple of years will do for you. But anyway, if you really desire to leave reality behind.
Yes, I do.
And see some fun people do some crazy stuff with cars, mm-hmm. go for it.
Yeah.
Buy some popcorn. Get a Diet Coke that may cause you have a stroke. I don't know. Luckily, I don't drink Diet Coke anymore.
Yeah.
But AMC bought our local theater.
Right.
And Doug loved to have a big-ass popcorn and Diet Coke when we go to the movies. And I had a sip of his Diet Coke, which I usually do. And it was the best diet soda I've ever had. It was like the perfect amount of carbonation with flavoring. I don't know. Whatever artificial it is. I don't know what they do to this thing. Mm-hmm. But for a brief moment, I thought to myself, maybe I should pick up that habit again. And I'm like, no, it was so hard to get rid of the first time. Yeah. So hard.
Yeah. You don't need to.
No, I don't. But and it's great because I know that I can have a sip when I go to the movies and never want it again until mm-hmm. next time. Mm-hmm. They did mention, I was reading this one study that they did with rats or mice. They fed mice, I think it was cocaine.
Cocaine.
And they fed them artificial sweetener. Mm-hmm. And then they gave them a choice. And
every single time
the mouse or the rat went to the artificial sweetener.
Right.
Like that was more of a
high.
Yeah. Than the cocaine.
Yeah.
I'm like, I believe it. Because when I was giving it up, you were trying to feed it to me. You're like, you're a crabby bitch, Julie.
I know. I was your enabler.
You really were. But that's okay. I forgive you.
Yeah. Thank you.
But there's a couple scenes I need to tell you about in the Fate of the Furious. Because who they were fighting against was the smartest hacker of all time. Just like amazing, you know, and can do anything with computers, right? And there's one scene where Dom, our big, you know, Vin Diesel, has to go and get the football, you know, the case that has the nuclear codes mm-hmm, in it mm-hmm. from the Russian consulate. Mm-hmm. And he's like, where's my team at? Where's my team? And she goes, it's right behind you. And she had hacked all the smart cars in New York. And they were all following him. And it was like, this is the most awesome thing I've ever seen. And she made smart cars that were parked on, like in parking towers, you know?
Yeah.
Parking lots, fly out of windows to stop it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome.
That's so cool.
It was the coolest.
Who thinks up that stuff?
I know. It made me... I was so happy to see this. Now, somebody else would have gone, that could really happen. Okay, but eventually, if you put your car in front of a smart car that's doing crazy stuff like mm-hmm. that, I mean, if you break the engine, you know, the engine can't move. You know, I mean, if it has an accident, it still can't go. I don't care.
Right.
I mean, have you tried a remote control car? If it gets stuck on a little pebble, it's like, can't go forward, can't go back, can't go forward, can't go back. I mean, they don't defy gravity. They don't just fly.
Which way do I go?
Yeah. So you can still, they still have to obey by, you know, the laws of science and stuff like that. But it was a very awesome thing. And it gave you the impression that every car in New York has a capability of being hacked.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's...
I'm sure it's true. Every phone.
Because now, you can buy cars that are your quote-unquote hotspot. you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if they have, if it's your hot spot,
yeah,
that must mean,
oh yeah,
that they can come in and hack it.
And that's also kind of too, like they were saying, like, you know, that you can pick up pings.
Right.
All you had to do is watch one episode of Hunted,
right?
Which I loved this winter. It was, it was like really eye opening for me, like what they're capable of doing, you know. And we're lucky because we have a car, a 1960 car,
yes,
that is not smart, and that, you know, if an EMP pulse hits or they take all the smart car technology and derail it, we could still get someplace.
I don't know where we'd want to go because everybody would be like, they got a car.
They probably hit us over the head and steal it.
Yeah. I feel like we could drive to our lake to get some water to bring back up. And that's what we would be doing with our car.
Yeah, that's true.
Drive to the lake, get some water.
Get some fish.
Get some fish, come back home. Stay, you know. And it's kind of interesting because there's a couple of things I wouldn't mind having that I know are no use to us unless crap goes down, you know.
What are they?
One's a solar generator.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But if you're the only one in your complex that has a solar generator,
goodbye solar generator.
That's what I think. You're going to spend most of your time trying to protect it.
Yeah.
Or unless you can put it on the roof and like kind of like keep it hidden.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what you do. You build a fence around your solar generator and then somehow figure it out. I don't know. So that's, you got to keep thinking about that. Cause I remember this one guy goes, I don't worry about stuff like stockpiling food or having things ready for the apocalypse.
He goes, I have a gun.
I'll just go over and take it from you. And you're like, man, is that where we come to now?
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to the apocalypse.
Yeah, and then you just go, yeah, the truth is, I just don't want to be around.
Yeah, we're kind of depressed today, aren't we, a little bit?
I don't know. I mean,
kind of.
That's okay.
Kind of like we're apocalypse.
I think we are the pulse of the nation.
Yeah.
And
we're trying to feel better.
And in the midst of it, we want to feel better.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key. It's like, how do you still make yourself in this day, in this time when whatever you focus on expands, you can focus on the negative stuff, which is always around.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing too. I don't think I'm drawn that way where I'm just like naturally happy. I sort of have to work it, you know?
Right.
I can remember interviewing this psychologist who was talking about basically what we all talk about, how to feel better now, how to feel better. And I said, I proposed this question, though. I said, tell me, you know, someone who's, you know, maybe their job's been cut and, you know, maybe their children are sick or they're, you know, and they're squeezed between parents and kids. You know, a lot of issues. And then they're not feeling that great. Tell me, what would you suggest? She goes, well, I'm not responsible for situational depression.
Yeah.
Like what? Oh, what?
Situational depression. Okay, you're right. And I think that's...
that's kind of like the Hillary Clinton response, like when all these small businesses are dying and they're not making it. She goes, well, I'm not responsible for them not being capitalized enough.
Yeah, things go down. You know, things happen.
Whoops.
And when you go, oh, okay, you're right. But as a nation, we want to take care of everybody.
Yeah.
I asked you, you said you watched that interview with Mark Cuban.
Yeah, I did.
And the first thing he said was, I want to be the first person to be a trillionaire.
Right.
I like,
good
for you.
Well, and you said, well, how come? Why is that so? And he said, if not me, then another country.
Right, then somebody else
and
will.
We do not want to, he said, we're already not first in robotics. We have to be first because it's going to be so big
that
we have to be the leader.
And so I guess I feel happy that somebody's thinking about these things.
I think the interesting thing is that he said the first position to go is truck drivers.
Why was that? I know.
I don't know why, but I love that because Norm.
You've always told me this.
And I think it's interesting because like when they had the lottery for the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And they pulled birth dates out of, and we were all listening, sitting around the radio.
Right.
The radio. And Norm's birthday was like the second to be called. I went, dang. Now like truck drivers are going to be the first to go. I'm like, what kind of sign is this? It's time that we get a different job,
right? Which we are. And I keep telling you, the world would have to change so much for us to have not driverless semis.
Yeah.
Because it's not the load that you'd be worried about is all the other drivers.
Yeah.
They'd have to have their own roads. They'd have to, we'd have to have a different infrastructure.
Yeah.
Because they said the biggest problem with driverless vehicles is not the driverless vehicle.
It's the drivers.
It's the drivers reacting to the driverless vehicles.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, they've been noted that there's an increase in road rage with driverless vehicles. I mean, the guys who are driving notice that that vehicle's driverless, mm-hmm. and they cut it off. They do weird things to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so then it has to be act erratically, you
Whoa.
Know, and so forth.
Whoa.
So we're going to have a real huge upgrade.
Yeah.
But I can think about a couple situations where... So I saw Logan a couple weeks back.
Uh-huh.
Weeks back. I liked it. That was a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
As you can tell, the movies I am drawn to seeing are, I think I gave it three Sherpa stars, mm-hmm. Sherpa hats.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be your guide toward movie reviews.
That mountain of movie enjoyment.
And because really, I want you to feel better now. Sometimes you don't need to be hard-hitting, you know, with a movie. But there's
That's
a scene.
That's our whole goal, isn't it?
Yes. There is a scene that... he's in an area where there's just driverless semis. And there are three or four tractor trailers, you know, trailers being, there's no even no semi. I mean, so it's just, I don't even know where the engine's at, probably underneath. I have no idea. Because it just looked like trailers being moved mm-hmm. back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And the two cars that were on the road with them got into an accident. And the semis... didn't know how to react. And sometimes they would sign beeping noises, like, get out of my way. I mean, it was really crazy. But I can see a situation where at a very close spot, like such as like a railroad yard, where you might have a spotter come in and move trailers around. I can see that job might be obsolete in a couple of years mm-hmm. if they could trust the trailers,
the robots
to do this.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's very interesting, but it would have to be, you know, Dad was talking to me about, well, like sometimes the doors don't open right and I have to take a hammer to the doors, or the brakes aren't working properly and I have to fix them right there on the spot, or the tandems have to be moved. How's a robot going to do that? And I said, the robot won't have to deal with those problems because those problems will have to have been addressed before that problem.
Right,
you know, brakes not working.
That would happen before that.
It would stop everything,
right.
And it would have to be fixed.
Right.
So that's how that goes. But I am open to the future. It's exciting. I look at Jack and I go, "What kind of world are you going to live in?"
Mm-hmm.
And I look at my two nieces and I think the world that they're going to live in is different than the world Jack's already living in.
Well, I love the fact that you named Jack, basically, because they were going to name him like some like girly name, like Tristan or
right.
something like that. And you said, no, you name him a name that sounds like he could be president.
Right.
And they said, like, what? And you go, Jack.
Okay, that's not totally the story.
That's the story.
And you're sticking
to it.
Well, the reason why you think that is because I have always loved that name, Jack. And if I was going to have a kid, I always thought I would name him Jack. And then and Jack Oberoff came on the scene. You know Jack Oberoff.
Jack me off?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
No, yes. That's exactly what I said. And I'm like, oh, I can't name a kid Jack. But I've always loved that name. And... the reason, but I always feel like you need to have a very powerful name. And it could sound presidential.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that could sound presidential. So when they said, you know, they told me the names that the other grandparents were throwing out.
Yeah.
And I said, well, not to criticize names, but I think that name's not very strong.
Right.
And I wouldn't want to vote for that person be in Congress.
Right, right.
And I think you want to give your son the most options possible.
Right. Yes.
And he goes, yeah.
And you don't want to name your girl a stripper name.
No. You know, like.
Destiny.
Yeah.
Paradise.
Exactly. Except we do know a lot of destinies.
We do know a lot of destinies.
And they're very nice, educated, you know, people. One's going to be a doctor. What's your name? Destiny. Oh. Like, I'm guessing your mom and dad love Destiny's Child. There's always a, you wonder what the story is behind
that. Yeah, a lot of Chelseas out there.
Yeah, exactly. Chelsea, is that, there's something wrong with Chelsea?
No, I mean, I think it was like a name that, you know, parents of maybe our generation or a little bit younger, there was a lot of Chelsea mornings, a lot of Chelsea towns. You know what I mean?
It
was like, you know, a lot of pot smoking
Chelsea.
Oh,
got it. Okay, got it. Yes. and like
flower right. children.
Right. And so I do like the name Jack a lot, but I think about their life and what their world's going to be. And it's exciting if you could just stay out of the
muck and the mire.
Yeah. And the fear.
Yeah,
that change is going to be happening.
Because change is happening.
Change is a bitch.
And progress is a bitch.
Progress is a bitch.
And transparency is everywhere.
Yeah.
So feel happy now.
Yeah. And we want to thank you for listening to our show today. It was... I hope you liked it because we want to be edutainers. Edutainers. Is that what you called it?
Edutainment.
Yes. So go to our website, consciouscommunity.com, and we look forward to hearing more from you. And how was the show, girlfriend?
It was great.
It was great.